Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Bet River Sportsbook has supercharged its iOS app. Download the update today from the Apple App Store and see the difference for yourself. Must be 21 or over to play. Playable only in Indiana. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Careless in our summer clothes. Splashing around in the muck and the mire.
All right, we are back here on The V Show. ESPN Louisville is your radio home for Louisville City FC. The boys in purple are back in action Saturday. Louisville City FC against Indy 11, big-time rivalry there. 7:15 pregame show on all ESPN Louisville stations and the ESPN Louisville app. And don't forget to catch Soccer City with yours truly and a few other wonderful folks, Lance McGarvey, Jason Entz, and, of course, Casey Whitfield on Thursday night. From 6 to 7 right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. I want to thank Jason Sobel for coming on after what was such a fun weekend for golf. It's so relaxing to watch a fun golf tournament, especially the majors, obviously, come down the stretch there at the end. He was in front 4, 5, 6 strokes through the course of the round, and as it got a little bit tighter, got later in, I mean, nobody does drama quite like, I would say, maybe baseball, playoff baseball between pitches. I mean, the build-up to big shots, it's hard to replicate because there is a little bit of time between them. The build-up to big pitches in baseball, the build-up to the big shots, big putts, whatever it is, there's really, truly nothing like it, and it was really, really fun. And I just cannot get over, I know I already said it, I cannot get over the production value that CBS puts in. I mean, it is really true. It's like cinematic. They have like portrait mode cameras. So when they're zoomed in on one of the golfers in a big moment, it really is crystal clear. It looks fantastic on TV. It's just as well done as any that you could possibly ask for with these golf tournaments. So truly fun. Nick is on the phone here, but I don't think it's with Amina Ekic. She's calling in about 10 minutes. So we will talk to Amina in a little bit. But again, I could not get over the quality of the broadcast yesterday. And honestly, you know what? Here's something that's kind of funny. I don't typically think of May as a big sporting event month. It feels like Derby and, you know, there's some good golf stuff. But I always forget that there are days that we could have lined up like yesterday, where you've got NBA playoffs going. I was flipping between the NHL playoffs. There were some crazy games in the NHL playoffs yesterday. The NBA playoffs started with an absolute bang, which was fantastic to watch, and really just made for entertaining basketball. And, I mean, I personally, and we're going to talk with Jack Grossman. He's going to come sit in studio. We'll get Nick's thoughts on this coming up here, but I personally kind of felt like the Knicks needed to win game one. I kind of felt like that. Now, I don't know if I'm sure there are people out there who disagree with me. I know that this series, I've seen predictions in a lot of places have this series going at least 6, if not 7 games. I kind of felt like the Knicks, with a little bit of mojo, they're at Madison Square Garden. Great story. First trip back to the playoffs. Just felt like they needed to win game one. I'm not as worried about a team like the Lakers as I am about the Knicks. And Trae Young, who I have always not really enjoyed watching, quite frankly. He's fun. Don't get me wrong in terms of his ability. But I remember watching him in AAU and literally gets touched and his head flops back. Just not fun to watch. Absolute kill shot there at the end of that game for Atlanta. And I think they really relish being in this role. Feeling like everyone's talking about the Knicks. We've done it on this show. We've had Knicks guests on. Everyone's talking about the Knicks being back in the playoffs 8 years since they had last been on. I mean, it just not a team that a team that people really think is part of the most important NBA groups of teams. Like, you need to have people interested in the NBA having the Knicks be good.
Oh, absolutely. There's
so much more fun that way.
I definitely want to get into the Knicks discussion. Sorry, speaking of New York, New York Mike was on the phone with me.
Oh, how's he doing? He's doing okay?
He's got some health issues, so, you know, good vibes to him, too. Keeping good vibes going today.
Well, I love New York Mike.
Oh, God, he's electric, as you say.
He's hilarious.
I love some New York Mike. What do he call you, Diesel? Or were you Diesel
and
Oatmeal?
No, I'm Oatmeal. He calls me, Biscuit and me are Diesel and Oatmeal.
Diesel and Oatmeal, I like that combination.
I really honestly thought Oatmeal would be my gas bag's
honest to
jersey
God,
jersey title, but it was
Biscuit told me it, like, he had already sent the order, and by the time he realized that, he missed the opportunity for Diesel and Oil. Speaking of good vibes and electric, we have Amina Ekic on the phone.
If yes!
You should holler at her.
Huge! Amina, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing wonderful. Amina Ekic here joining us from Racing Louisville, formerly of the University of Louisville, the ACC Offensive Player of the Year in college. Went to DuPont Manual just down the street here from our studios. A Louisville kid through and through. What was your weekend like after you scored the very first NWSL regular season goal for your hometown club? Has your phone stopped buzzing over the last couple of days?
I mean, it's finally slowed down, but I had to set my phone down that night. It was a lot. I had a lot of text messages, a lot of notifications. That night, I kind of just went home and I hung out with my family and had dinner and spent the day with them. The weather has been great, so I just kind of got away and hung out with them that weekend.
Now, so we're talking with Amina Ekic from Racing Louisville, a Louisville kid, hometown hero, as you have been bandied about here around town. Just kind of a cool story. So tell us about your upbringing here. I know you played at Beachmont. You grew up around Churchill Downs. This is, I mean, it's truly a Louisville story, but tell us about your childhood and your upbringing.
Yeah, so my parents are originally from Bosnia, and they flew over here and settled in Louisville, and then I was born and my brother was born, and I started off playing rec soccer at Beachmont, and I played there for a year or two, I think, when I was 8 or 9, and then when I was 10 years old, I signed up and tried out for Javanon. And from 10 years old to 18, that's where I played club soccer. I went to Farnsley Middle School, went to Manual High School, played for them. I did ODP, the Olympic Development Program, and that's kind of how I got noticed on the national level, because we didn't really have an academy back in the day or an ECNL team in Kentucky. Got recruited to play at the University of Louisville, and then finally got drafted to Racing.
And it could not have worked out better that this is their first year, the year that you're draft eligible. I mean, it was the perfect matchup to make happen.
It was incredible. I remember, I'm a pretty big homebody, so I was like, oh, maybe I'll get drafted to Chicago. Like, that's the closest place to home. And then maybe my junior year, they announced that the NWSL was coming to Louisville and we were going to have a team. And I was like, what timing?
That's perfect. Well, we're talking to Amina Ekic from Racing Louisville, and U of L alum as well. I read a story. I remember reading this when it first came out, you were really eager to go to U of L, weren't you? I mean, it was sort of a mutual recruitment that obviously they were interested in one of the greatest high school soccer players in the history of the state, but also you really liked Louisville and wanted, like you said, you're a bit of a homebody, you wanted to be close to home. It was sort of a mutual thing.
Yeah, I loved Louisville. Just growing up, it was exciting for me to drive by what was at the time Cardinal Field. So they play where now we use as a practice field sometimes, but that was their stadium with the track around it. And it was just exciting to me to see, like, the girls out there, like, playing at a high level, and it just, you know, like, inspired me, and, like, I'd get excited when I see them, and that was the next big thing. Like, my dad was always like, if you train hard, maybe you can play in college, and, like, you can get your degree, and you can keep playing because you love to play, so why not keep playing as long as you can? And that was just my end goal. One of my end goals growing up is I wanted to go to the University of Louisville. And then as I went on my visit and I got recruited, I mean, it was just amazing. I loved the coaching staff. I loved the facilities. I knew that this is where I wanted to be. And, I mean, I was the first generation, not only college student, but college athlete. So it was important for me to be at home and, like, have the support of my family. But Louisville had everything that I wanted, and I wanted to stay in the city. So it was a perfect fit.
That's awesome. We're talking with Amina Ekic from Racing Louisville. Amina, you tore your ACL. Tell me if I'm wrong here. In one in each knee. You tore your ACL in your right knee and then in your left knee. What was that process like coming back from those injuries? And how do you think they've impacted the way you play now?
I would say it was difficult, but obviously not impossible. I did my first one when I was 16, so I was still in high school. And it was kind of just, I don't know how to explain it, devastating, because I just didn't really fit the body type or the personnel to kind of, I guess, have that injury, because I was always very, like, bouncy and just, like, you know, like, light on my feet. But it happened, like, I had great support, I got through it, and then the second one really got me, because everyone told me that the first one was just a freak accident, so then I was like, I hope, like, this doesn't happen a third time, you know, like, it was kind of terrifying, and it was kind of tough to go through, because at the same time, I knew what it would take, and that it was possible, but I knew how long it would take and everything that I would have to go through and repeat that cycle. And they were about a year apart, so it wasn't, I didn't get to play too much. But I had a great support staff in college. My trainer, Jimmy Dorman, he was my rock, and my equipment manager, David, they helped me, like, not only, like, train my body, but train my mind and just, like, outlook positively in life and the situation, and then just to keep pushing and keep grinding. And, like, I think that's helped me mentally at the next level, because it just goes to show that I've been through a lot, and then I can push through it. And the mind is a powerful thing, and if you can just stay positive and keep pushing, you can accomplish a lot.
I'm talking with Amina Ekic of Racing Louisville, formerly of the University of Louisville, Emmanuel High. You can follow her on Twitter at Amina, E-M-I-N-A underscore Ekic, E-K-I-C 10. Amina, how good is the Savapi in the Ekic family? Is that still a big thing for your family?
How big is what?
It's Savapi. Do you eat the famous Eastern European rolled sausage?
Oh, the ciabatta? Yeah.
Okay, different pronunciation. Okay, I butchered the pronunciation.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. You kind of took me back. Yeah, there's a couple places to get them, actually, in Louisville. A couple Bosnian restaurants I recommend. But, yeah, we eat them, like, when we're grilling or cooking out. Like, it's definitely there.
I love it. I love it. I was in Eastern Europe for, I was in Croatia for for my honeymoon, and then traveled through Croatia and Serbia last or 2 years ago, and ate it almost at every possible meal that I could, which is probably why I gained about 15 pounds while I was over there. But still, it was really, really good. What has been, I guess, the biggest adjustment switching from college to playing pro soccer? What's the biggest difference for you?
I would say that the speed of play is much faster, and you're competing against some of the best players in the world, and every day I train with some of the best players in the world, so that preparation is helping me getting adjusted, and I'm surrounded by like great teammates and a great coaching staff, but definitely just the speed of play and quicker decisions on the ball, decisions off the ball. Everyone is very athletic, like strength-wise and speed-wise, so it's just been an adjustment, but it's going pretty well.
Yeah, I would say so. The goal the goal on Friday night was across social media. I saw it pretty much everywhere, from the local TV stations to some of the national soccer accounts. Take us through that goal. You cut back. It was a nice cut back after winning the ball back, and you just ripped it with your left foot. Could you see it go in? I mean, did you black out as soon as it went in? Like, what was the emotion like and that experience like of scoring that goal?
Well, for anyone that knows me, I always did that. I did it in college. I always cut it with my right and then hit it with my left. And I always like to curve the ball or slice it, however you want to say. I couldn't see after. I saw that it didn't go wide of the goal, but then after that, I couldn't see anything. Like, I was surrounded, and the lights had already gone off at that point. And I was just like, I guess it went in, and I was, like, so excited because it's been a process, and scoring goals in this league definitely isn't easy. I mean, you have a lot of the best players going up against you, so it's definitely – I'm excited to have scored – you know, for the team and the city, and hopefully there's more to come.
Yeah, a moment in the history books. I mean, it probably still, I would imagine, be kind of weird to even think about that 5 years from now, but you have now claimed the very first league goal in the NWSL for Racing Louisville, and it could not happen to a better story, a hometown kid scoring. Last couple things, and you kind of mentioned it here, playing at this level. Is it weird seeing Marta and Kelly O'Hara and some of these huge, huge names on the same field as you? Has that hit you yet, Lynn Williams? I mean, like, I would be scared out of my mind to see anybody in any sport that is at the highest level. But what is that like when you actually walk on the field and there they are right in front of you?
I think the Challenge Cup was great, not only for us to kind of get our feet in the water, but it kind of, I think I was starstruck throughout the entire Challenge Cup. So once the season rolled around, I was like, okay, like, this is normal. It's like, I'm supposed to see Marta, I'm supposed to see Lynn Williams, like Carly Lloyd. So it's incredible being able to play next to and against your role models. But yeah, definitely I've simmered down a bit, but I mean, I feel like that feeling will never go away when you're playing next to Marta. And it was honestly, I was honored to get her jersey in the first ever game, and that was so cool. Like, I got to meet my role model growing up, and I watched her play a lot, watched her highlights on YouTube. So that was a really special moment for me.
I was going to say, that is one of the most popular social media posts, I think, in Racing Louisville history, was the jersey swap with the player who a lot of people believe is the greatest player in the history of women's soccer. So that's a pretty cool experience right here in your hometown.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. Well, last thing then, for folks who are excited to get out to games, I know you guys won't be home again for, let's see, about 3 weeks now. What is your expectation and anticipation for having the 100% capacity at Lynn Family Stadium? The environment has been really good in these games. People are excited, obviously, to kick the Challenge Cup off and just have a home game and see racing for the first time. But that energy, you always hear people say, keep that energy, maintain that energy. It stayed. Obviously, Louisville City fans are familiar with it too. What are you thinking and expecting and hoping for when you guys return home? We can take the masks off and hopefully have pushing that 15,000 capacity at Lynn Family Stadium.
To be honest with you, I don't know what to expect. I mean, the 50%, like, has me blown away. Like, it's so loud, the crowd is so hyped, the energy, the smoke bombs, the drums. Like, I was talking to one of our fans from Lavender Legion on Instagram, and she was like, we want to make it feel like there's a 12th man out there. And I'm like, you guys definitely do. It's hard for teams to come into Lynn Stadium and play against us because the environment is incredible.
Absolutely. Well, it's
probably the best environment I've ever played in. I mean,
oh wow, okay,
it's amazing. This is a soccer city, and it really shows.
Yeah. It's summertime soccer in Louisville. It's a lot of fun the last couple of years for sure. Well, Amina, thank you so much for your time. I know you're going through the busy training week, and I'm sure that your phone has just been absolutely blowing up the last 72 hours or so. So congrats on your first ever NWSL goal. You're in the history books now, and to have it happen to a young woman from Louisville, it could not be cooler. So congrats on all of your success, and we'll be rooting for you the rest of the season.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me. Come out to a game sometime. You'll love it.
Oh, we definitely will. Sounds good. Thanks so much, Amina.
Yeah, see you. Bye.
All right, that's Amina Ekic. I posted a on Instagram something about her goal.
Uh-huh. I mean, she's the answer to a trivia question. She knows that,
yeah,
right?
And she responded with, she responded on Instagram, thank you. Like, it's just bizarre. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, it's like, it's still so new to all of them that it's pretty cool.
Again, I don't want to like make more of it than what it is, but it is sports radio. So, I mean, if anyone can do it, it's sports radio. But I said the same thing about Michelle Bedos when she came on, just in the 5 second walk up like discussion. Sometimes you can get an idea of who people are, and she was super cool, super nice. She seems like the sweetest kid, and I say kid because she's like 21.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah,
she seems
literally 21.
So genuine
old.
And so nice, and very, very like humble. I would be so much more cocky if I was her.
No,
she seems That's super humble style. And down to earth, and a very, very cool hometown kid. Very easy to root for, seems like. So,
yeah.
Congrats to her and racing. I mean, that was awesome.
And this one texter. I know I shouldn't let the negativity get in here.
Do we got a jackass?
Yeah,
no,
like, yeah, we gotta
don't even, read it. Don't even
it.
Read it. Don't even
it's
read
it. It's a hometown kid. Are you friggin' kidding me? It's awesome.
That is the most poetic start to
Fantastic.
A franchise. That's very,
the daughter
very cool.
of Bosnian refugees who came here in the 90s from a war-torn area, who went to Manuel and went to Louisville and is now playing for the hometown first tier. This isn't minor league soccer. It's first tier Racing Louisville, first tier in the world, the best league in the world. Just
playing
scored
the best
the first,
players in the world.
Playing against the best players in the world, scored the first
Possibly
goal in franchise history.
Possibly best players ever, too. I mean,
yes, ultimately it will be the
there.
Best players ever. I hate the text line sometimes.
They're just being chotches.
That's,
I mean,
all right.
Just, come on. Don't be a bunch
437-9680 is the UPS Jobs text line. If you want to holler at us and say how much you enjoyed talking with Amina Ekic, who is super cool, really great young person.
How can you be?
You just
got to
be a Grinch.
Bro.
You got to be miserable,
bro. Come on.
I mean, seriously. All the other texts are about horse racing, and you want to complain about soccer. We're talking about soccer for 20 minutes, and you're texting about friggin' horse racing.
Did you listen to the interview?
2 minutes a year. Get out of here with that garbage.
Such a sweet, rootable. Come on.
Unbelievable.
Come on, man.
Unbelievable.
You know what? F that guy. Let's talk gas bags for 45 minutes.
All right. Let's do it. Let's. No, we're going to do that at the 2 p.m.
Yeah, no. When Jack pops on there. I got a little something here that I think is funny, and I saw it from one Lachlan McLean, and I want to get 2 cents on it. And then maybe we can get back to Nick's talk after. Who do we have coming up at 1:30?
We got a coaching guru coming up to talk about Ross McManus.
There we go. A coaching guru. All right. So Indianapolis 500 this weekend. Our boy Patty Ice was up there, I think, for qualifying. Going for the all lobby, if you will. I don't know whatever the all lobby is in terms
of. I have no idea what that means.
No. All lobby. I'm sure you would. I mean, the all lobby is, they call it at the Final Four. In the hotel lobby, there's all these coaches, there's all these grad assistants,
the
all
lobby,
there's all
like
these,
hotel. Okay, gotcha,
there's all
gotcha,
these
gotcha,
reporters,
gotcha.
And it's all hobnobbing all right. and rubbing elbows and everything and networking. I don't know what the equivalent of that would be. Maybe the Piper's Pit, Snake Pit, I don't know. But Patty Ice was up there for qualifying.
Love
doing,
it.
Doing that. So we got
it's aggressive on his part, but I like it.
Oh, yeah, no, Patty's working it.
He takes it very seriously.
I love it. I love the Indy 500. I really do.
Do you really? It's not for me.
I'm still flirting with low-key. Like, I can speak broken IndyCar. I really can. Maybe even conversational IndyCar and a little bit of a little NASCAR as well. But this was the list of, because you know, I'm sure you know this, the winner gets milk. That's tradition. You get a thing of milk.
I did know that.
Yes. And so the American Dairy Association of Indiana, shout out to Lachlan McLean for retweeting this, has the selection of all of the drivers. Beforehand, you get your pick of what type of milk you want. And in this year, the year of 2021, there are no skim milk selections for winning and for the guy in victory lane. The choices are 21 drivers selecting whole milk, 12 drivers selecting 2%, two people wrote in buttermilk, and one wrote in chocolate. Now, I mean,
I like chocolate milk.
Oh, we're not talking, though, but this is the thing. We're not talking about what you want in the morning on your corn pops.
It's when you win the Indy 500.
We're talking, no, and not just when you win the Indy 500. We're talking about coming out of a car in a flame retardant suit, a racing jumpsuit, and numerous other protective gear things. Your car is easily 120 degrees for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And you want to hop out and drink buttermilk? God bless these people. The people in question that wrote in buttermilk, too. The only woman in the field, Simona Del Silvestro, how you doing? She took buttermilk. And then backtracked it to if she couldn't get buttermilk, she was going to get 2%. That is the thing that stands out to me. Like, how are you going to go from butter? That's if you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly.
Yeah.
I mean, buttermilk and then whole milk. But whatever. Okay, so she went with buttermilk and then walked it back to 2%. The other guy, the elder statesman in the field, one of them, Ed Carpenter, went with buttermilk and then was like, if I can't get buttermilk, I'm going to go with whole milk. The only guy that picked chocolate, and props for him for doing it, Juan Pablo Montoya, that some people might remember, raced in NASCAR for a little bit. But I'm just going through this list, man. A whole lot of whole milk. Like, I can't, if I were them, I'd go skim because I'd want to chug as much of it as possible. And then I think I would chug about half of it. I'd do a Joey Tribbiani from Friends, just pour it all over myself. But while chugging it, and then do the spray. Then do the spray and throw it everywhere. That would be my go-to celly. But with all that drinking, man, here's another thing. I like skim milk. I know I'm in a minority there. I grew up with skim milk, so much so that I think I might be a little bit lactose intolerant. And I don't know, maybe it's just because I eat 5 bowls of cereal at a time.
But that's a lot of cereal, Nick.
I'm exaggerating. I don't eat that much. But I get one healthy, you know, baseball helmet size portion. And but typically the most I would drink whole milk with cereal is when I'm like back when we were playing hockey. On the road, we go to the Continental
get a little protein,
breakfast.
Get a little fat.
Throw a little Raisin Bran in there.
There you go.
And the only milk they typically had was whole milk.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would drink that and then I go spend about 3 hours in the bathroom and get ready for the game. That was kind of my go-to thing. But I'm struck by that. That's a whole lot of creaminess to be going into you right after basically sitting in a sauna.
Yeah.
For like, you know, three plus hours.
Yeah.
Maybe you're just so euphoric that you've won. But I don't know.
Ugh, not into that.
Buttermilk. Ed Carpenter. Simona Del Silvestro. What are you guys doing? God bless you. But good Lord. I don't know. A whole lot of Italians, by the way.
I would get roasted by a lot of people because I'd be like, almond milk? I'd get roasted.
I was just about to ask, what type of milk would you take?
And almond milk.
You would go with almond milk if you won?
I like coconut milk, too. It's good.
Oh, God, that's not better.
It's healthy.
No, they're both healthy.
I like almond. Almond milk's good.
I like almond milk. And
what's the tradition, though? Like, what's the
tradition?
Is whole milk? Or is it 1%?
Get the option, but it's milk from a cow. Were you listening?
No, I was, but I didn't realize you get to choose. Like, I thought it was just like a playful, like, if you win, you get to pick. What is it?
I don't think there's one typical. I would be interested to know what the most popular one throughout the years would be, because obviously they keep track. I mean, you get to place your order.
Yeah.
So I wonder what the most popular one throughout history is, but typically it's from a cow because it's sponsored by American Dairy Association in Indiana. Winners drink milk. And hey, look, I'm with you. I love almond milk to the point where I'm starting to learn some things about my body, especially as I get older. I can't have shellfish mixed up, and I can't have a ton of milk. Those wreck my stomach. So almond milk has been a kind of a happy alternative. It's healthy. But
this
Jeff,
is quite the turn of events here. We're talking about milk for the last 5 minutes.
I don't know what was more on brand for Jeff Greer. You know, Captain Cardigan and, you know, Pastor Jeff, as we call you.
I haven't worn a cardigan in years.
Jeff, it's all part of the shtick. Stick
with the same old storylines.
The fact that you shoehorned in there and threw Amina for a curveball when you started dropping.
That was hilarious.
She was like,
you didn't even remotely say that correctly.
You said it
so poorly that I didn't understand what you said. I can't say the TC. CZ combined. I can't do it.
Hey, I give you props for trying.
I tried.
But that was perfect Euro Jeff, where, you know, it's like, oh, I'm cultured, and then you inadvertently swear at somebody in broken German or whatever. That was fantastic. I don't know what's more on brand, though, that or the fact that you would take almond milk and in the victory lane at Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
I mean, Texter says almond is as rich as whole. It is rich. I put almond milk in my smoothies. I make like green smoothies.
I'm not going to argue the taste and the health benefits of almond milk. I am a fan, but I mean that's like going to a barbecue and demanding a veggie burger, bro.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't go that far.
I'm trying to be healthy with you. If you go healthy in a few places, it makes up for not being healthy when you eat burgers and things like that.
I mean, so you hear me on that?
Okay.
I'm smelling what you're stepping in. I probably
would pick like whole milk if it was actually like, if it was the Indy 500, it's a once in a lifetime thing. I'm probably just going with the most chuggable 1%. Well, that's the most chuggable milk you
can
have.
That's why I was. Look, I'm busting your balls because. And I said skim.
Almonds don't have nipples, Texter says. That's
true.
I've
got nipples, Greg. Can you milk me? No, look, I'm busting your chops for picking skim milk because you picked the one milk lamer than mine.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
That reminds me.
Nick isn't lactose intolerant. He just poops himself, Texter says.
Maybe that's a little column A, a little column B, I think.
Yeah. Nestle Quick, Texter says.
That reminds me of a quick story, and we'll get to break because I know we got to get our guru on.
Can I say one thing real quick?
Yes.
I just want to throw this in there.
Yeah.
Just real fast, and then your story, then we'll go to break.
Okay.
Someone texted, and this is so cool. My biological grandparents, oh my God, clicked out of this. Here we go. I clicked out of it. So cool. My biological grandparents came from Macedonia. So I sympathize with her family's story. I think she's going to be a household name. This is about Amina Ekic and globally before long. Y'all are doing great. Always have the best interviews. That's very nice.
Aww,
thank you,
sir. Appreciate that.
All right.
Sir or ma'am or however you identify. That was very nice. Appreciate that. Seriously, that's very cool. And seriously, I mean, she's a 21-year-old kid. I mean, born and bred.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't get much more local than that. DePont Manual High School and growing up next to Churchill Downs. So very, very cool stuff there. And seems like a very likable person as well. So that's helpful. My story of this was, it reminded me when I was making fun of you after picking skim milk for picking almond milk. My family was on vacation one year, and we did a Segway tour, which there's literally no way to look cool on a Segway. There really isn't, unless, I mean, you're just surrounded by supermodels and, I don't know, you have like a rocket launcher attached to your back. But, I mean, it's just one of those things. You look like a dork. They're fun as hell. Mm-hmm. I don't apologize for doing it, but they're dorky. Let's be honest. They are. You look like a nerd. That said, we were driving around, and you're on the sidewalk, and you're at one point, and you're just like passing a park. It was very pretty. And there's a stop sign, like, that you're right next to the road. And some dude pulled up in his moped. And I wasn't being snarky. I was just like, oh, cool moped, bro. And he looked at me and was just like, yeah, whatever. And then me, like, in that little, like, 50cc sound, like, rode off. And I turned to my brother. I was like, dude, we just got flexed on by a guy in a freaking moped. Because Yikes. We were on the only vehicle that was dorkier than a moped. And it was a segue. And it just reminded me of that in that little turn of events in a story that I know is boring you because I can actually see the glazing coming over your eyes like Krispy Kreme donuts. I was making fun of you. I was the guy on the moped there and you were the guy on the segue. And I apologize for that, Jeff, because I know how that feels.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that about me. I will never ride on a segue. Or a moped.
They're fun.
Yeah.
They're both of them are fun.
We gotta take a break.
Yeah. I gotta do a sports
because we got Chris
too.
Oliver coming on. The guy who runs Basketball Immersion interviewed Ross McMaines, texted me a minute ago and said, are you still calling me? So we really do need to take a break and get back to
SportsCenter.
ESPN 680 and 105.7. You're listening to The V Show here. I already said what station it's on. Be back soon. Back here on The V Show, Jeff Greer here with you. ESPN Louisville is your home for the NBA playoffs, including the NBA Finals. Our next broadcast Thursday, Bucks at Heat, 7 p.m., 93.9 The Ville. Friday has Nets Celtics, 8 p.m. on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Speaking of hoops, we have spent the last week or so, and some of us longer, trying to decipher a little bit more about Ross McMaines and his background, what he did with New Zealand as one of the assistant coaches there. Really innovative, fun team to watch offensively. And someone who spoke at length with him on his podcast, it was a little while ago, but obviously we'll still have some memories from that conversation, is Chris Oliver. Chris Oliver runs the basketballimmersion.com, a company that specializes in hoops coach education. And Chris, I've been telling everyone since we started the show today and in my newsletter last week and on the radio, if you're a true hoop head, I can't think of a better podcast to listen to than yours because you get into the nitty gritty of how to drill things, X's and O's. It's really a fun podcast to listen to. So first of all, welcome to the show. And second of all, let me rephrase that. How did you come up with this idea that you wanted to get into this sort of conversational style about hoops? And it's been hugely beneficial to so many people out there.
Well, thanks for having me, Jeff. Honored to be here to talk basketball with you. And honestly, basketballimmersion.com and the basketball podcast both started with myself as the avatar, thinking back to what I would have liked to have access to as a developing coach. And both of them were birthed from that. And it's been incredible with the amount of people that have enjoyed the process of us sharing the game. And certainly the podcast, you know, is content marketing to try and drive people back to the website. But more and more, it's just to have real conversations with coaches about what they actually do and what they authentically do, and to kind of dive deeper than, you know, what you might get from a media podcast, which is obviously more interested in kind of the human story, and get more into the technical, tactical, and philosophical.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's really fantastic. And for people here locally, just on May 5th, Richard Pitino was a guest. Jerry Stackhouse has been on there just recently here. It's just a laundry list of coaches, assistants, people around the country and around the world. So super cool. You can follow Chris, by the way, on Twitter, at B-Ball Immersion. So, Chris, New Zealand was an interesting team in 2019 at the FIBA World Cup. They gave Giannis and Greece some trouble. They won a couple of games that I think people might say, hey, they're kind of playing above their head. And a big part of that was the way they ran their offense. You talked to Ross McMaines. What was your impression talking to this guy as such a young coach and listening to your podcast? So fluid and comfortable talking about all these different concepts that New Zealand was teaching its players.
Well, a tremendous hire, first off, for Chris Mack in Louisville. I mean, I just think this is, some people might think outside the box, but to me, it covers all bases. It covers a young coach who's worked at all levels of basketball already and is passionate about the game and certainly is approaching the game from a more modern version of the game. And I think that's sometimes a danger for college coaches, is that they fall into this pattern of, you know, running the same old stuff because we're going to plug players into our system. And the great coaches are adapting and finding systems that are fluid and can be able to be adaptable to different styles of players and different players that inevitably you're going to get in the modern game. So Ross is at the forefront of that, and it's going to be just tremendous to be able to watch their team play this what I would describe as advantage-based basketball. And most of basketball comes down to, you know, we're trying to create an advantage. Once we have an advantage, how are we going to keep that advantage and take advantage of that advantage? And, you know, modern spacing, dominoes, ball don't stop. We can get into a whole bunch of this stuff if you want, but it's just a tremendous hire, and it's gonna be exciting to watch Louisville.
Yeah, and the conversation here has been, how much does Chris Mack take on of those concepts? How much do they mix and match? And I do think, look, I mean, Louisville, I said it earlier today, Louisville would have, and people have been talking about it here for weeks and weeks now, they would have been the second worst effective field goal percentage team in the entire NCAA tournament field had they made it and not been the first team left out. The offense was really stagnant. The tempo is not even remotely what Chris Mack's teams played at Xavier and hasn't been the last couple of years. So you bring in a guy like McMaines who does have that experience running the break the way they do, and like you talked about, into space, out to space, the ability to get into the corners and on the wings in that transition situation to let your handler, as he said on your podcast, have kind of a freeway, the opportunity to run into space and try to create. How do you think that type of mindset, and like you touched on some of the tenets of that offensive philosophy, for people who may not understand all of that, how does it speed things up? How does it get teams to play a little bit faster and be more difficult to defend?
Well, the simplest way to understand it is that spacing trumps everything when it comes to offense. The goal of all offense is to create space from the defense, and the goal of the defense is to take away space. So if you think about that battle, I mean, the more space that you can create on offense, the more opportunity you'd be able to have create advantage and take advantage of advantage. So essentially what Ross does, and I think what a lot of college teams are starting to adapt, is something that I've phrased as the two-side break. So instead, traditionally on the offensive end in transition, you know, an offense player would run to the 45. That's a 45-degree angle to the basket, and a lane line, so the free throw lane extended. So the modern spacing out of the two-side break, which Ross uses, is to run as deep as you can. So you run to corners and 45s. And that essentially creates what you call the freeway, which is more space on top. So if a player with the ball doesn't have an opportunity to be able to pass ahead and immediately create an advantage, then they're able to dribble attack into that space. And it forces the defense to really decide what they're going to do. Are they going to stay at home on a shooter on the wing, or are they going to help in what would be considered a pack position, you know, a help side position, one pass away to be able to take away space? And that's really what we want. We want the defense to have to get out of their normal comfort zone to be able to help take away space, which of course creates more space ultimately if you're able to create take advantage of that advantage.
And it really is, college basketball has become such a battle over space, and teams like Virginia, and I talked about this last week, they do such a good job of eliminating it, especially obviously in the half court, in their pack line. They make it really difficult. I know Ross talks about it with you, and it's talked about it elsewhere, about not letting two guys be guarded by one defender who's able to not have to worry as much about as much spacing, because they're able to eat up that area if your guys are too close close together. They're not communicating. They're not moving. So it was fascinating to me to learn about the whole punish defense versus preventing defense and the difference between those two things. He talked about that a little bit with you. What was your takeaway from that aspect of it?
Well, Ross has great phrasing, and I'm sure that Coach Mack's going to adapt some of that and, you know, be able to apply it. You know, the great thing about what Ross does is it's not something that needs to come in and change everything that what Louisville does. It can add to what Louisville does, and I think that's really what we're looking at here. And look, it's no secret. I've studied the game at all levels. The NCAA college men's basketball is dominated by defense. I mean, the rules are still, you know, the old school rules. They're not playing modern FIBA type spacing or rules. Different things like that prevent kind of coaches from completely opening it up because defense is still king. But ultimately, you said that in the numbers already. Like, you've got to have a top five offense, top five defense to be able to be at the top of your league and obviously to be at the top when at the end of the year in terms of the NCAA tournament. So Ross definitely can provide some of that with these concepts of being able to create space, to be able to make decisions quickly. What I call 0 seconds, he probably calls something different. But the fact that we don't want the ball to stick. We want the ball to keep moving. And then the other part of this, which you're going to see a lot of, I believe, if they let Ross incorporate some of these ideas, is more spacing off the ball that is either respacing so somebody penetrates and kicks and now they get out quickly to space, or some type of off the ball cuts on drives, you know, which I call second cuts, the ability of a player to be able to read advantage off the ball when their player loses sight. And that's really the way to come back to kind of attacking Virginia type style defense, is that your weak side or your off the ball players have to be empowered to be able to take advantage of advantage as well. So it's not just on the ball focus, it's off the ball as well.
And to that, I mean, that's where the personnel comes into play is, and I know Ross talks about it. I'm sure a lot of other coaches have talked about it with you as well, and vice versa, about your personnel understanding and being so ingrained in what you're trying to do and so drilled in it that they're able to kind of operate organically and operate with the freedom to understand how to work within that system. So how do you attack the personnel side of it, especially at the college level where they are still learning concepts and stuff? I mean, it's clearly not at the same level in terms of terminology and understanding of the game that you're going to get at the pros.
There's no question. I mean, every level you move up, players are better at understanding these concepts. But I will say this, is that it all starts from structure. And I think that's sometimes where it's misconstrued, is this isn't a style that's just open up and let them play. This is a style that starts from a structure, and the structure actually helps develop freedom. Because once players understand the basic structure, then they become empowered to be free within that structure. And that's such an important part, again, of modern coaching and the modern game. And we've seen this in the college game, that some programs and some teams are just so structured, they have to run the play. Even if they have an advantage, they're not allowed to break off to take advantage of that advantage. And what you'll see is within what Coach Mack does, that more and more players will be able to be free to be able to take advantage of this advantage when they have it, because they've been empowered by this structure to understand where they can be, again, or where they can re-space, or all these different things that help them, say, reset their spacing if an advantage wasn't taken advantage of.
My favorite part of his interview, and we're talking with Chris Oliver from Basketball Immersion. You can follow him on Twitter at B-Ball Immersion, or check out the website basketballimmersion.com. I mean, it is all kinds of goodies for basketball aficionados. So if you want to check that out, please do. It's highly, highly recommended. Not just Louisville fans. Anybody, check it out. It's pretty cool. But Chris, you talked about drilling it and people getting understanding of it and making it simple. I laughed out loud at the golden snitch drill, that they would incorporate Harry Potter into their terminology. And I also kind of got a little sad that some of the younger guys didn't quite understand what that was a reference to.
Well, I'm not that familiar with the Harry Potter stuff, too. But, you know, it's great. Like, Ross Vans with Zico Cornell, who's a really good friend of his. They've spent so much time together. And I think what's really remarkable about the work that Ross has done is that he's just come up with phrasing that connects with people, connects with coaches. But it, most importantly, it connects with players. Because at the end of the day, we got to remember, like, when we coach players, it's not a coaching clinic. It's about the players. So we want to find terms, whether it's golden snitch or these different ones, that help players understand what they're supposed to do. And one of Ross's terms that he's helped popularize is this concept of dominoes. And dominoes essentially means that once we've created an advantage, we want to keep the dominoes falling. So if we penetrate, we beat our check, and now help's going to rotate over to help bring two to the ball, then we've got to keep that ball moving to be able to keep the dominoes falling. And the defense, you know, all good defenses, you know, they're going to get beat. It's just a question of whether they can recover or not. So the dominoes concept is this concept to be able to take advantage of that, you know, situation where you've already got dominoes falling and you're going to take advantage of this help defense before they can recover.
Yeah, I was, I talked to Dylan Stith, a guy who actually ironically played, was a high school rival of Luke Hancock's in Virginia. So he knew when I said Louisville, he said, oh, Luke Hancock, what, how's he doing? How's he? But he played for Melbourne United when Ross was on staff there and said the terminology and the way he connects with young people is something that cannot be overstated. He's like, I swear I'm not trying to pump his tires just because he's in Louisville. Really, and it hits home here talking to you about it too, the dominoes, golden snitch. They're things that people remember, and I think that makes it easier to digest and learn, even if it is a simplified thing that you can teach. It's just fascinating. Thank you so much, Chris. I mean, this is really helpful. Can we get you on more in the future? I love talking basketball and listening to your podcast, and I think it educates basketball fans even more so when we talk about it.
Well, I'd love to come on anytime, Jeff, and I super appreciate you having some of these more in-depth kind of coaching conversations as well, because I think that's something that we've noticed nowadays is that whether it's a fan or a coach just or a player, more people just have a better understanding of the game, and I think it only heightens the ability for all of us to enjoy the game. So grateful anytime to come on.
Awesome. He is Chris Oliver. You can follow him on Twitter at BballImmersion. Check out the website too, basketballimmersion.com. Thanks again, Chris, and have a great rest of your week. All right.
Thank you. Take care.
Awesome. That's, I mean, again, we have people on, and I know that I recommend things. We try to get people on who we like and respect a lot. I didn't know about this. And I honestly, as a basketball fan, I'm ashamed that I didn't know about it because I just like listening to smart people talk. And I'm like scrolling through the episodes all the way back to the beginning, and they have had a lot of like really good guests on their podcast. So I'm embarrassed that I only recently discovered it to be clicking through and listening. I listened to the whole Ross McMaines actually on the way to the gas bags. Last game was the last episode I listened to. But as I mentioned, just in the last couple months, they had Richard Pitino, Jerry Stackhouse.
Wow.
He's had all sorts of different big names, even further back, guys who we all know. Jay Larinaga, who's obviously the son of Jim Larinaga and coaches at the NBA level. Dennis Gates, who was pretty much on every wish list. The Cleveland State head coach, David Fizdale. I mean, it's just a long list of different guys, and just trying to learn the game from all these different levels of young coaches. Laval Jordan from Butler. I mean, it's cool, and you learn so much just listening to people talk about this kind of stuff. So
that's awesome. It's sort of like finding a Netflix series you didn't know about.
Yeah,
now you have like four seasons to catch
really
up
interesting.
On.
Yeah. So I mean, it's cool to learn that. He had Ryan Odom on with Dave Odom. Ryan Odom, of course, of UMBC fame, coaching the only 16 seed to ever win. And Nikki Collin, whose name should ring a bell here locally, the husband of the former or the wife of the former U of L women's basketball coach.
Oh, there we go.
Who is much more successful than her own husband and is coaching at the WNBA level now. Kelvin Sampson, Fran Fraschilla. I'm sorry, I'm just reading through.
Oh, damn, that's a guest
list. Chris Holtman. I mean, it's a nice list of coaches. Eric Musselman. I'm scrolling back through all these really interesting people. So I highly recommend it. If you type in Ross McManus, McManus, on your like, if you have Apple Podcasts, you'll find the episode. It was 2020, just after the FIBA World Cup in 2019 when they were talking about it. It's really, really interesting basketball stuff. So appreciate him coming on.
No, he was a good get, man.
I know. I want to keep talking to him. I want to get him on later on in the year when we're actually in basketball season.
I feel like, guest wise, like, and
great day for guests.
Oh, it's a great day for guests. I think Jason Sobel was just on Outside the Lines with Jeremy Schapp.
Not before us.
Oh, well, yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, in your face, Schapp.
Yeah,
bang bang.
Take that.
Or it was pre-recorded. But no,
probably not if he's talking about Phil.
Yeah, that's a good point. So that was in your
the
face.
The V Show wins Schapp. Again.
That's right. V-Show 1, Schapp 0.
I went on Outside the Lines during the Andre McGee, Katina Powell stuff. I was absolutely terrified.
Well, what'd you use as a backdrop, by the way?
They had you go to a studio downtown. Okay. It had I think it was the Louisville skyline, I think, was the background.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was right after an exchange of documents. And so I pre-planned a line, and I just... nobody budged, and I just it wasn't a bad appearance, but the other guy was much more comfortable on television at the time and was really like poppy and interesting, and I said this is still the process right now in the NCAA infractions process where they're kind of like armies battling in the 1700s. They stand in line and shoot at each other, and people fall down, and then they advance and shoot at each other. It's kind of how I liken NCAA infractions process. It's very
that's
similar.
That's pretty solid. Yeah. I thought that was pretty
and
good.
And the other people were like, yeah.
Like, this guy.
Texter says, get Phil on next. All right, we'll call Phil Mickelson. We'll get him on. I would love to talk to Phil Mickelson.
Lefty, that would be awesome. I'm not even sure who...
Hit flat-out bombs. I need him to teach me his swing.
Hey, I mean, Lefty comes on. There'd be one more interview that we got with Lefty than we did with Justin Thomas. Just saying. And I like JT. Like, let it be known I am rooting for him.
It's not a twisting like the knife. You're just kind of like, come on, man.
Come on. I mean, like, we've had every Louisville, like, mega Louisville athlete personality come on these airwaves at least once. Donovan Mitchell, Angel McCautry. I mean, just off the top of my head, like, the only ones we haven't had, because we haven't reached out to him, is Lamar. We had Teddy, but God, there's a story about that. We had Teddy lined up, and that fell through because Cooper didn't know how to work the freaking phone, and I was on vacation.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah, that fell. That was not...
Was that when he was in town for the Courier Journal Awards?
No, I tried to get him for that, but I couldn't. I reached out to... I've been reaching out to PR guys, like, for every team he's, like, post-Vikings, and we almost had him in New Orleans. But the guy replied to me while I was taking the train with Pops up to Chicago to catch the White Sox game. So he gets back to me. I'm trying to call him in the train station. Have terrible service.
Terrible.
So I'm telling him, like, hey, Pops is out. I'm yelling to the guys back at the studio, Drew, Andy, can someone record this interview? Let's get Teddy. Why not? It's the summer. And so Drew runs to the studio. They call, and Cooper didn't know how to pod him through. And I'm sorry to throw him under the bus. It's not all Coop's fault. I mean, it was an absolute, you know, Keystone Cops, guys running all over the place. Mm-hmm. You know, so I put them very much behind whatever ball you can put behind the eight ball. So, but it ultimately was a broken play. I threw the ball up, and Coop dropped it in the end zone. But in Coop's defense, he was in triple coverage. So, you know, it was one of those things. And so, and then the guy was like, it's one of the only times a PR guy got actually a little douchey with me. I got to be honest.
Oh.
But he was just kind of like, yeah, we're just not going to do it. And I was like, we could reschedule. He's like, we're just not. I was like, what the hell is Teddy doing? What are you doing right now? It's freaking June.
Grace for the hometown team.
Yeah. And the guy just kind of was like, yeah, whatever. And I understand.
And sometimes it's not the player. Like, if the player was in, they'd be like, yeah, that's fine.
I could, I can't imagine
usually
Teddy.
Usually that's how it goes.
I can't imagine Teddy was like, F these guys.
Yeah.
Like, I understand it was a pain in the ass with my broken phone in the lobby. But, I mean, come on. PR people have been nicer to us with bigger personalities. Like, I'm nothing against Teddy. He wasn't the starter at the time. I mean, you know, I love Teddy. Anytime Teddy could be in the CFL, back up in the CFL, I'll talk to him.
Great to talk to. I mean, I asked him on the stage at the CJ High School Sports Awards a few years ago whenever he was the guest. I always ask guys this, especially pro football players and college football players. Do you, when you're playing Madden or you're playing, if you're still playing NCAA Football 14, like most of us, College Football 14, like, is he reading coverages? Does he know all of his audibles? Is he moving people, blocking assignments and all that stuff at the line of scrimmage? And he was like, oh yeah. Like, he actually like makes, you know, blocking assignment shifts, line shifts. I mean, he knows, put someone in motion. He does all of that stuff.
Impressive.
And like, his teammates hate him because he actually is like the real NFL. The play clock runs while he's fiddling around pre-play, and he gets the snap off in the final few seconds like they do in the NFL.
That always gets me.
Yeah, I can understand that. But you know what? If you're playing against Teddy, as long as he's passing the ball, if he's switching into runs, I'd be annoyed. But when you're playing each other, it should be all passing. You should not be running the football. It
still bugs me that they did him the way they did in Carolina.
Yeah, well, Denver doesn't have a quarterback.
I don't know who actually pisses me off now worse, because New Orleans, that guy was a bit of a jerk, even though, again,
which guy? Was
the PR guy.
Oh,
so much so that it kind of
Sean Payton.
It kind of soured me on everything.
Okay.
No, this PR guy pissed me off more than Bounty Gate. No, I need to dial it back because it wasn't his fault. It was a bad day. But and then Carolina just like they sign him and then they just absolutely kick him to the curb. That was one of the that was one of the worst. Like, God, they weren't even like. I don't know. That was breaking up with somebody and bringing the new girl home while she still lived with you. That was just... that was cold-blooded. Mm. Anyway,
do we have more... I have more reads than just this that we need to get to?
I got to check and see if there's a DraftKings this week, but I know there's a Genesis. I will print that out for you.
Thank you.
Little tease. Little radio tease. Yeah. We'll have some Genesis for you later on.
Well, stay tuned for that one, guys.
We also have a Jack Grossman, a little Bill Walton
Big
sound.
Jack Grossman. Let's get to it.
Process take.
Oh, God.
Some Knicks.
Can I tell you, there's two other things I want to talk about. Donovan Mitchell is hot with the Utah Jazz.
Right, and not in a good way.
For being held out. Not in a good way. Again, and quite frankly, it doesn't sound like it's his fault in either of these situations. He was pissed about the Rudy Gobert thing, and now he's pissed about this. And while we've been on air, or at least right before we went on air, Shannon Sharp called Julio Jones, apparently on air,
Baller
on Undisputed.
Baller move.
And Julio is answering questions on air. And there's some confusion over whether Julio knew that he was on live on television or not.
You can get in trouble for that. You can get in real trouble, at least on the radio. You got to tell someone you're on live radio.
Here's a crazy story, and I know we're going to take a break. Oh, wow, we're already past two. Crazy story.
Hit me. Wait. Speaking of breaking radio rules, just in case you can't wrap this up in 2 minutes and we fall out of the legal ID window. This way you can tell the story at your own pace.
Love doing live radio.
Yeah, there you go. Brosky.
Love it. That was nice. Signing day. I still worked at the Palm Beach Post in Florida, so it was a big deal. And back in February, this was before they had early signing day. My friend, who is a reporter, and it does a great job, was patched in on a recruiting call and reported what was said. It was a little bit of a big mistake, a rookie mistake. He'd never do that again. It was a learning situation.
Because you can get the coaching staff in trouble with that, right?
Yes, you can get anybody.
That's a recruiting violation, a lot of different people. Right.
It was a whole big deal, and also happened to misattribute who was talking to the head coach.
Ah.
That was not good. It was an assistant coach, not the head coach. Lots of bad stuff happened there. Got in trouble. It was a whole ordeal.
Ugh.
Not great. Anyway.
He didn't lose his job, did he?
He didn't. He got reprimanded and is now doing a wonderful job covering a professional sports team where that is no longer an issue.
Good stuff.
So he learned his lesson. was gracious about it, apologized, all that stuff, learned a lot, was trying to be aggressive. And sometimes you run into those situations and you make the wrong decision. That's all right.
It happens.
It happens. We're going to take a break here on the V Show. When we come back, we've got Jack Grossman joining us in studio. Lots to talk about. It's been a great show. Let's finish with a bang here, the final hour, here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 per hour plus a $175 weekly bonus for some shifts. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.